figure that out.
Okay, so we're up to now. What's the deal with another pshat and why it is that you have to know the Torah super duper well, that you have to answer a guy on the spot? So one was because you have to have a certain relationship to Chachma, such that it results in that you're very familiar with it, like your sister. The other one was that because the Torah, you have to be ready to use the Torah, to access it, because there are cases that come up, you have to really be able to access your knowledge quickly. So it's behind your fingertips, practically speaking. And the last shot, which we didn't explain, is this idea of like it should be like arrows in the hands of a gibor. You should be able to fight off your enemies with them. So the question is, what does that mean? What's pshat? You're fighting off your enemies with the words of Torah? How does that work? What's the deal? And that's presumably explanation of why you have to have good knowledge of the Torah in that intricate manner, that you can answer a guy on the spot. So I was thinking, okay, different. Again, I'm just going to suggest something. But the thing is that with the enemies, I mean, the enemies are straight. The enemies of Talmud Chacham are the Rishonim, or people who have a different philosophy than Talmud Chacham. And there's a fight going on. The fight is what's reality? Is reality Torah and Chachmas Hashem, or is reality some false value system, you know? And there's a constant fight, struggle for the world, or for which reality is going to prevail in the world, and which who's going to prevail as being the representative of truth. Okay, the Torah guy or some alien philosopher. So some other alien position, some other philosophy. Now, it could be is like this, is that in fighting the battle, like who are you trying to convince? I mean, it seems to be the world. I mean, like, who's the battle between? It seems to be, it's not just a battle between you and him. You have your thing and you have your thing. You're not killing each other, per se. It's just a matter of what is the world, the ideas in the world, which ideas are going to be true in the world, right? Like, you're pushing for Kiddush Hashem, and the world will recognize the true ideas, and the other ones are pushing their false ideas to be, though, you know? Now, it seems to be is that, so now when you're judging with the world, when you're dealing with the world, in a sense, you have to deal with the world. I mean, like, when you're trying to win a battle, and you're trying to show them the veracity of Torah, so the world isn't only moved by abstract ideas. You say, look, I have the right idea, they have the wrong idea. So I have the truth. So I'll just tell everybody all the true ideas, and they'll all see the true idea, and perfect, everyone's going to follow Torah, because it's true. But unfortunately, the world isn't exactly moved by that stuff. I mean, that's certainly a factor, a major factor, but there are other things which move people. You know what I mean? And move them towards Torah. And like it says, like a gibor, chitzim biad gibor. You know what I mean? That there's like a gibor is like a warrior. And I think it's true. Is if you ever see these guys like a bucky, if anyone knows a bucky, anyone ever heard a bucky speak? There's a certain impressiveness about a guy who's like quoting things right and left. You know, he's certain he gives the power of the personality of the gibor. He's like a gibor. The guy is, you know, he's got a little grasp and mastery. And that type of person, you just feel like that guy has something going, you know. Like he has a sense of that guy's on a good path. You know what I mean? Like there's an impressive quality of that. And if you're, on the contrary, like I was mentioning, if you're basically stumbling and you don't really know your stuff and you're not, you know, even if you're, maybe it's because you're a chacham and you always think things over and you're always not sure and you're always, you know, you're always rethinking. But basically, you don't come off as being a guy who has who's really a strong person, who has a strong position, and reflects on the position. People are going to look down at that guy. So even though in terms of Torah per se, you could argue is, what's the difference if I look a thing up and I could find it tomorrow, or if I could find it in a second on the tip of my tongue, you know? But it's true, in terms of Torah knowledge, it may not make much of a difference. At least, well, there are the other two reasons, but intrinsically you could argue, well, what's the difference? But in terms of the impression that you make on people, there's an idea of a gibor, of coming off as a certain type of a person. For insofar as you're trying to teach them Torah, and you're trying to give them, this is MS, so you have to deal with them and the way they judge things. And the fact that there is an idea of a gibor, and people are moved by a personality as much as by ideas. And the idea of a person who is a master of a subject matter gives an impression of a strength and of that there's something behind him, and that he really has something to him. So what it's saying is that's could be what it's saying is that the mastery is a tool in fighting your enemies. And it was in the battle of trying to represent Torah as MS, that is a tool which is used. And it could be, it's also related to to the students, because people also move by that. A guy has a lot of followers. It's also an impressive kind of thing to people. You know what I mean? Like he created all these people are following him, and this guy must have something there. You know, could be that's also a part. You know, and just to tie in because the pasuk sounds like there's two things going on here. One is the weapons are your students, and the other one is your weapons are is your master is not. You know, but it could be the unifying factor is that. That again, that it's certain tools which you're using in your battle to teach Torah. Of course, the ultimate tool is the Chacham itself. But if you just use that and you don't get involved in what moves people, then you'll fall flat. Some people will be moved, but in general, you have to understand the emotions of people, and as such, you have to represent yourself. And if you're going to be stumbling all over yourself, or if you're not going to have any followers, or you know that's they're not going to be moved in the same type of way. So it could be that's the same. That's another dimension, another aspect of why it's important to have the knowledge. You should be, that's why it's good with the thing, Alti Gam Game. You shouldn't even stumble. Because stumbling already is the guy's, that's what you're saying. So the guy doesn't really know. And then people discount the whole thing. It's not like they just say he doesn't know. They end up discounting the whole thing because of that. There's the first two were in terms of himself. And as it turns out, there's three things. One thing is your relationship to the ideas themselves should be such that you have intimate knowledge of them. The second one is that you have to have the knowledge because practically you have to always be aware of there's situations that come up, demand that you have that quick access to them, so on your fingertips. And the third is in your battle to teach the world true ideas and to represent Torah as an MS, it's an important thing to be able to have mastery. It is interesting. You could argue the point. I mean, you could say, look, it's not really true. It's based upon a false thing. People are moved by that, but that's not really true. Do we hold by that? You know, you could argue that. But I mean, if this is correct, it seems to be saying is that you gotta deal with people's emotions, and people are moved by this type of thing. And it's not. See, the thing is, I think if it was totally crazy, you can't do something that's crazy because it's going to move people. But there is a sense that you have a greater grasp of the thing. I mean, it's not like it's an insane activity. It's just, it's not rated. It's not like the kind of thing that you'd necessarily devote all your time to, because there are other things. You may say, I'll favor depth over mastery, you know? And that may be a good cheshbon. But mastery is certainly a value. But the thing is, but given now that that is a value, so in your battle with other people, you have to favor it more than you would favor a different value because of the fact that that value is one which people place a higher emphasis on. And so far, you can't overlook what's going to move the people. I mean, you see, you have to worry about people. That's the whole idea of Chalal Hashem or of Kiddush Hashem is that, because the question, like, what's the idea of Chalal Hashem? A guy does something crazy. So how does that reflect on Torah? Well, this guy made a stupid mistake. How does that? But apparently, people don't draw distinctions like that. They say, oh, that guy is crazy. Torah is crazy. That guy's a great guy. Torah is great. You know. So the premise of Chalal Hashem and Kiddush Hashem is the fact that people judge Torah based upon the people who represent Torah. You know, and so the fact that you have to work in their world is clear. You know, you can't just say, well, what are they getting so bent out of shape about? That's their emotions. You can't, and you have to deal with their emotions. You have to realize that's their emotions, and you have to represent Torah in a way which is favorable. Now, you can't distort Torah because of that, but there's no distortion here. You're just knowing Torah well. I mean, that's a good thing. But it's saying there's an added dimension to that knowledge. And it's an important to do it and not to not have it, because then you may harm it. You may harm your battle. I mean, it could be also, you guys are saying it's true, is that there's the idea of, like, you know, if they ask kashas on Torah, you have to be able to answer them quickly, you know? Like, you have to be able to defend your positions and defend, you know? But I'm making it more, it sounds to me it's more like the whole Torah should be on your fingertips. I mean, the whole Torah, I mean, I'm sure you're not going to get that many questions on Nagayim and on, you know, I mean, a lot of areas in Torah. It sounds to be, it's like just a certain guy who, whenever a guy's going to ask you a question, you can answer him. That's a certain, comes off in a certain kind of a way. And people are attracted to that kind of thing. You know, and they feel like that guy really has sense. He knows everything. He's not missing any points. He has a full grasp on the thing. And he's, you know. So then it says, so now, then the Gemara is the next thing. It says, Aveim Bashar. So the problem is, what kind of... Aveim Bashar. So in talking about it, it says you fill your quiver with it, and when you shouldn't be embarrassed when you talk with your enemies in the gates. So it says, what do you mean, enemies in the gates? I mean, I didn't say enemies, but who are enemies in the gates? So it says, enemies in the gates, it says, the Gemara says, even a father and son, or a Rav and his Talmud, they're involved in Torah, in one gate. still they end up becoming enemies. Okay, but because they're like Rashi's, they're all fighting for their opinion. But then at the end, there's Ava. Right, so it's pshat. Okay, good question. The question is, what does it mean they're going to become friends at the end? Does it mean they're going to agree at the end? Maybe right. not. It means that they're going to be friends. Well, who said they weren't friends in the first place? And true. So I was saying, like, along those lines, why is there going to be a fight? There's always going to be a fight because basically everyone's looking for truth and learning. You're looking for truth. And the way minds are, every guy's mind is different. And at first, the way the guy sees it at first is always going to be based upon his intuition and the way he's turned. And as such, he really holds this is truth. And the other guy holds this is truth. And truth is something worth fighting for. I mean, a person is, the way he sees the other guy's thing is crazy, and his thing is good, and vice versa. So, at the moment of the thing, person becomes very strong against the other opinion. Like you see the Rishonim talk against each other, you know? Like, because something which isn't true is is reprehensible. I mean, it's wrong. It's dead wrong. That's it. I can't see it. So you become heated about it and impassioned because this is something which is of importance to you. I mean, you're really fighting for what you see to be true and this is not true, So it will, even a Rav and a Talmud, as close as your emotions are, a father, son, a Rav and Talmud, is when it comes to when you have a strong emotional closeness and whatever, you can't help but to get involved and to be fighting it out. Because the nature of the area, it transcends the friendship, you know what I mean? It's of something greater than the friendship, and it involves the person's mind and his whole self, and he's driven for the truth. And it's very nice we're buddies, but bottom line is you're dead wrong, and you can't let the emotions of or political correctness or friendship or those types of things simply don't have a place when you're involved in pursuing truth. And if it seems like it's true, then it's true, and that's it. And there's nothing else. And at the moment of the battle, there is nothing else, and basically your enemies. Your enemies. You're really fighting it out. That guy is basically wrong, and you got to knock him out. Okay, but the saying is that, see, that kind of an enemy is not really a personal enemy. See, a personal enemy is a guy who's always going to last, because you really have personal hatred towards the guy. There's actually a personal thing. But here, the hatred is the enemy is based upon that you're involved in the battle, and it's like an action of enemy. You know what I mean? It's an action of war. Because insofar as you hold this position, he holds that position, you're fighting it out. You know what I mean? But it's, by the time the thing is done, I mean, there are two things. I mean, one thing is, I'm not sure, they might both be true. I mean, one thing is that oftentimes, or usually, it will resolve itself. Because you're both looking for truth, and you happen to differ at first because the Tchilas Ilan, in the beginning, people see things differently. You fight it out, you ask questions, you ask kasha on this, you ask kasha on that. And oftentimes, not always, oftentimes at the end of the day, you end up coming to a common resolution. And you both have grab hold of the truth as a team. You worked it. In other words, that process ends up leading you towards the real truth. Whereas if you wouldn't involve yourself in that fight, you'd never end up at the truth. But through both of you fighting it out, you really end up at the Emes. Oftentimes. I mean, so then definitely it's at the end it's going to be Ava. Because the whole, and the contrary, you look back and you realize how that process itself really led you to a mutual appreciation of the Emes. So now as you share with them that, in that appreciation, and that's Ava of self-focus. But see, when it's both based on emotions, it's never going to resolve itself, because your emotions are your emotions, his emotions are his emotions, and how you're never going to resolve them, because my emotions don't want to be in line with him, and his don't want to be in line with me, and it's unending. But here, since the thing isn't really based upon our emotions, but it's based on the our mind, see, and there is one MS, there is one idea, there is one truth, and therefore, it's oftentimes going to turn out that they'll be able to find the mutual thing, because they're not driven by their emotions, they're driven by what their mind sees as MS. And the reason why they're different is because at the beginning, before you get into an area, your mind naturally goes one way. But through the process of arguing, you're not personally looking for what your thing, you're just looking for what your mind sees. And the argument, the process leads you towards what your mind sees, and you clarify the idea. So then you have you can have an ahava, because this person, you're... See, Ava is, you can identify with the person. And you identify with the person because you share you share a common interest with them, you get another person because you have this, you root for the same team. You can share the identity with the person because you're both involved in objective truth as a unit. You know what I mean? So the greater the thing that you're sharing in common, the greater the identification is going to be. You know what I mean? Like, you know, if you just like the same favorite color as a guy, you're going to have some identification with the guy. If you like the same sports team and you are sports guys, then you're going to have a greater thing. If you like the same MS or something, whatever, as great as the thing is the greater, the stronger the identification is going to be because it's more a part of you. You know, I mean, it's, you realize this is it, so now you're gonna have a stronger identification. But I say that even if you don't work it out, it probably still is gonna, it's gonna have itself. I mean, let's say, because not every machlokas ends up that you agree, it doesn't always work out that way. I mean, even though I'd say probably more often than not, it does work out that way, I would think, you know. But sometimes you really just have different opinions, you know. But I say still, you know, at the moment of the battle, it's hatred, and it's your enemies, you know? You're really fighting. But it's not really a fight, and it's not like the Gavras are really fighting, you know what I mean? The hatred which lasts is the hatred which is based on, like, the Gavras are really pitted against each other, you know? But here, they're fighting in the Liman HaTorah, they're fighting, but at the end of the day, they realize that they're both involved in seeking the same thing. In particular, one guy holds Mother, one guy holds Asr, but they're really both involved in that same thing, in that mess, and trying to work it out. And even though at the moment they're really coming to, you know, they're really fighting it out and trying to convince, but once the thing ends and they realize, look, here's Machlokas, we're at that ends, we can't, you know, that's it. But then there's an Ava, because they're mutually involved in seeking the same MS, and it's true they happen to come to different points in that MS, you know, the different opinions about what that is, but still there's an Ava, the fact that they're mutually engaged in pursuing the MS, and you don't always get a resolution. That's the way knowledge works. Sometimes you get something, sometimes you don't get something. But since it wasn't, and what it's showing is it's a different kind of a Muhammad. You know what I mean? Like, a Muhammad is usually based upon the underlying nature of the people, and they're fighting intrinsically. Here, they're just fighting in the battle, and once it's over, and then they're close. You know what I mean? True, what you guys are saying is that it's a different kind of friendship. This Ava is an objective Ava, because, see, normally, let's say in sports or something, you know? So what I like, I have my likes, and he has his likes. And the Ava is that we happen to, he fits in line with me, and I fit in line with him. You know what I mean? It's not like we both love football. I mean, I love myself, and what I, you know, and I'm this fan. So now he happens to line up with my world, so then you know, and he and I to him, so it's like self-serving. We both, you know, we'll satisfy each other's emotional predilections, but there's no objective thing which we're both attached to. But in here, the Ava is based on objective attachment to something which really exists. So there's a different kind of an Ava which is going to result from that. They're both attached to something real. It's not just that he pleases me and I please him. We're both attached to something greater beyond the self, and we realize that is a real thing. There's a real attachment in reality. So it's a different kind of an Ava. It's true. That's true. That's nice. Right there. Okay, so go further. So the next verse is like this. Tan Rabbanan. This is very interesting. There's Sam Tam, and you shall place, right? There's Sam Tam, you should place these words. Sam Tam. Sam is like a potion, like a medicine. Tam means complete. Okay? Nimshala Torah kisam chayim. The Torah is compared to a potion of life. Mashala Adam. Shehika es b'no maka gedola. It's like a mashala of a person who hits his son, a big hit. V'yaniach lo retia al makaso. And he places a bandage on the hit, on the wound. V'omrala. He says to him, b'ni. As long as this bandage is on your wound, eat what you please, what you desire, drink what you please, and wash with hot or with cold. You don't have to be afraid. This bandage will protect you. But if you remove it, then you're going to get like an infection. or whatever. I don't know what it means exactly, but it means like it's going to get infected. It's going to get hurt. It's going to be bad. Rashi, tzmachim. Yeah, it's like an infection. Okay. Fine. It says Kach Kodesh Baruch Hu Amar LeYisrael. So too Hashem says to the Jews, Bini, Barasi Yetzer Hara. I created the Yetzer Hara. Ubarasi Lo Torah Tavlin. But I created the Torah as its spices, like its potion, its medicine. The Imatem Oskim Torah. And if you're involved in the Torah, Einatam Nimsarim Biyada. That's like your bandage. If you're learning Torah, you're not going to be a master over to its hand. Shneimar Shlom Tetiv says that if you're good, means if you learn Torah, says you'll be successful. Okay. Then Einatam Oskim Torah. And if you're not Osig in Torah, it's like if you don't wear the bandage, Atam Nimsarim Biyada. Then you're going to be given over to his hand. Shneimar LePesach Atas Rovitz. He's like crouching at the doorway. And the moment you give up Torah, then he's going to come get you. Okay, below Ode, and not only that, Ela Shekol Maso Matanobach. All of his dealings is with you. His Yitzhara is always dealing with you. Shnei Veilachot Shukasa. Because you is his desire. With you is his desire. V'mata Rotza, but if you want, Ata Moshalba. Then you could have dominion over him. Shnei Veilachot Shukasa. It says you should have dominion over. Okay, so it's comparing the Torah, like just like a father hits his son, gives him a wound, and then he gives him a bandage, and tells him, you know, keep the bandage on and you'll be okay. Take it off and you'll have problems. So too God, I guess the hit would be the Yetzirah he gave us, and he's saying if you keep the bandage of Torah on, you'll be okay. If not, not. The question, what's the shaykhs of this eating? It says if you wear the bandage, you can eat what you want, drink what you want, and wash how you want, and if you don't, not. So how does that carry over to the learning? It's not exactly clear. What does it mean? If you keep the Torah, then you can do whatever you want? What? Yeah, you have to work that out. That's a good question. Let's see, is there any Rashi's here? Let's see. Mashan Aschal, Kol Mashal Ad Chanotemena. Whatever your das pleases, I feel dvash, even honey, v'chalmini metika, shakashalamaka. Even like candy, sweets, which usually would be bad for a wound. If you're wearing this bandage, then you'll be okay. You'll be okay. Okay, imtetiv, like alakachtov, you take good, seis, tisnasel yitzrecha. If you're good, then you'll be able to have the rule over your yitzer. Maso matanoshal yitzahara be'adam laftia. All its business is with you to cause you to sin. Imatarotza, if you want, asuk b'torah v'atamoshala. You could be involved in Torah and you could rule over him. Sounds like it's a little bit repetitive, though. Isn't it a little repetitive? Because it says it like this. Is that really, I created the Torah, the Yitzhahara, and then I created the Torah, the last part. I created the Torah to help you. And then it says, basically, if you follow Torah, good. If not, then it's going to get you. And it's not only that, it's koma samatana b'cha. It's totally involved in trying to get you. But it says, but if you want, you could rule over it. And what does it mean if you want Rashi says, you learn Torah? Well, of course, that was the whole first part. Is the Torah is a spice. What do you mean if you want, you could rule over it? You know what I mean? Okay, so that's one mashal. That's one thing I'll tell you. Next is Torah Rabbanon. Kasha Yetzahara. Shafilu Yotzro Karara. Yetzahara is so harsh that even its creator called it bad. Shenemar ki Yetzalev Adam Ramanurov, because the inclination of the heart of a man is bad in his youth. You see, even the creator, normally a creator of something, is going to say everything's good. It seems like a weakness by it, right? It sounds like that's because the guy's emotionally involved. He's not going to see the flaw in his own thing. But saying normally a guy's a creator doesn't call it bad, but saying here even God calls it bad. So of course, what's that idea? Right? And it sounds like, even God, of course, if it's bad, it's bad. Well, God's going to be biased by the fact that he created it? Right? It says like this. Next one is, I'm going to be a tzuk. Yitzur Shalom Mishchai Shalom B'chayom. A person's Yitzhahara renews itself on him every single day. Shenema, rak kolayom. It's evil all the day. What is all the day? Rashi says, Kroy Seir, it's an extra bad lam. Dinisha kol shos hayom rasa mishchadashas. All the hours of the day, it's evil, like renews itself. What does that mean? It renews itself. Right? And so, Amr Shimon Levi, Yitzur Shalom Mishgaber Alav B'chayom. It like strengthens itself on him every day. It doesn't sound like it's the exact same thing. It's not mischadesh alav v'chol yom. It's like misgaber alav v'chol yom u'mevakesh hamiso. It like strengthens itself against you every day, and it desires to kill you. Okay, shenemar sofer rasha l'tzadik u'mevakesh hamiso. The rasha is looking out at the tzadik and desires to kill him. V'amolei kodesh baruch hu ozro, and if not for the fact that Hashem helps you, Ein yachalo. You wouldn't be able to stand up to him. Shenemar lekim lo yazen abiyado. It says Hashem won't leave you over in his hand. Okay? Rashi? No, Rashi. Okay, the last one. One more here. It says, Amtana de Reshmal. Bani, my son. In paga v'chal minuval zah. If this minuval meets, greets you, who's the minuval? The Yitzhara. Sounds like it has like a sexual connotation. If it's like taunting, the Yitzhara is telling you, what do you do? Mashkeh l'beis medrash. Bring him to the beis medrash. Okay? Im Evan, who, if he's a rock, ni muach. Then he'll melt. Im Barzel, who, and if it's metal, brass, I guess it's harder to melt, mispotzeitz, it will be shattered. Shenemar, lo ko divarai, so are my words of Torah, ke'ish, like a fire, ne'am Hashem, like our fire, which namely will melt it, ukepatish, and like a hammer, yefotzeitzela, which will shatter a rock. Im even hu nimuach, so that's showing that it will shatter it. Okay, that's like the Barzel. And in Evan, who nimu, Ashnemar, how he called some, lechu lamayim. Everyone who's thirsty should come to the water. Ve'omer avonim sachakumayim. Says the stones or ground, I think it's ground to water. So it says the water ground the stones. So the Torah is like water, and the water is ground up, crushed by the stones. I'm sorry, the water crushes up the stones. So it's saying the Torah, which is water, crushes up the stones. Ground melts down the stones, you know. So what's going on here, right? Okay, is it Rashi?
Is it like a potash or what?
First one is like a potash.
Which one?
Because if it's like a metal, if it's like metal, then it will have to shatter it with like a hammer.
Oh,
the Torah is like a hammer. And if it's metal, then it'll shatter the hammer. But if it's a rock, then it's going to melt it down with water. It's like water. Okay. And Rashi, Yemispotish, a Torah ke'ish nimsham of a feyas of barzel, causes the barzel to like shatter, expand. Okay, fine. So Rashi gets it. Tosus gets into it. We're not going to get into Tosus. Okay, so there's a lot of ideas, a lot of things here. Okay, so maybe a lot of things to work on. Right?
Right.
We'll see. Maybe hopefully I want to get moved through these though. Maybe in a day. Right? Yeah, then we get back. After this, we get back to we get to keep it up. Okay, after this, we get to keep it up. Okay, so maybe a day or two. We'll try.